Church, turn to your neighbor and say, he's alive. You could also say good morning. You can get to know each other after the service if you'd like. So, happy Easter. He's risen. All right, for all you Lutherans out there, your Easter is now complete. So John chapter 20, we enter into this day, this story, after Good Friday, where we observe Jesus dying on the cross, and then there's this Saturday, this silent Saturday, when there's like almost nothing happening, right? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're walking with him, you see him get arrested, you see him get put on the cross, you see him die, you're wondering, what now does that mean for me? I've given my entire life to follow this guy. I followed him, I believed everything that he said. And now I just watched him get put on a cross and die in the most humiliating, shameful way ever. What does that mean for me? What does that mean for us? Am I next? Am I going to be the next one hung on a cross as they pick off all of Jesus' followers? What does that mean for me? And then what does that mean for what Jesus promised? He said he was going to rise again, and now here's Saturday. And what's happening? I'm waiting. I'm hopeful. I don't know what the next is. I'm in this moment where I'm really confused, I'm anxious, I'm worried, I'm starting to walk away from the city because I don't want to be next. What is next? Verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Can you tell who wrote the book? Who wrote the story? It's the other disciple. He's like, I beat him. Even in this moment, I beat him. Then Simon, he bent over and looked at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along with him and went straight into the tomb. They saw strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first, a little nod to John, I reached it first, went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. So at this point, the disciples run to the tomb because they are excited. They don't know what this means, but they have to get there. They look in. There's no body. There's no Jesus. Still, they don't quite know what this means, right? Was he taken? Was he stolen? What happened to Jesus? Then Jesus appears to Mary. She's sitting there crying, grieving. He walks up and says, "Why are you crying?" She doesn't quite know it's him. She thinks it's a gardener. He reveals himself to her. She's amazed. He says, "Don't hold on to me. I'm not here for good. I'm still on my mission. I'm going to go up to heaven." In verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked in fear from the Jewish leaders, so they're shut up in rooms, locked the doors. They're afraid for their lives still. They don't know where Jesus went. They don't know what happened to him. They're afraid for their lives. Jesus came and stood among them. How did he get in a room with a locked door? He's Jesus. He can do that. Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Just put yourself in the room. all the questions, all the doubt, all the wonder, everything that is going on. Jesus shows up in the room. He goes, hey, here I am. Look, just so you know that I didn't fake anything. This is what it looks like. Here's the wounds. I am alive. Then Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, for if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So we sit and wonder as we read through the narrative of Jesus' resurrection. As we read after the resurrection, Jesus comes back to show himself to his followers, to go, look, this really happened. What I said was going to happen, happened. And we see the followers as they're leaving, as they're hiding in fear behind closed, locked doors. We see them start to go out and preach the good news. What is the good news? See, throughout the book of John, we've been going through the book of John for what it seems like a long time now, but it's all this build up to Easter. Throughout the book of John, Jesus has these statements that he makes. And they're absolutely profound statements. They're statements where Jesus says, I am, dot, dot, dot. And we read those statements and we go, why is Jesus saying this? What is he calling back to? Why is he declaring, I am? And it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Do you remember the story of the Exodus? Do you remember that, like, recall back in your brain? Like, the people were oppressed and they cried out to God for rescue. They cried out for him, God, help us. God, save us. We are longing for you. And God puts this plan in motion where he shows up to this guy named Moses with a bush on fire that wasn't really on fire. And Moses is sitting there having this conversation with God where God says, I want you to be the one to go to free my people. And Moses is sitting there going, what? Me? Like, I'm nobody. I'm not somebody who should be going in to do this. Like, nobody's going to believe me. Like, why are you choosing me, God? And what's God's response? Moses says, who am I going to tell him that sent me? Like if I just show up, that's not going to end very well. I walk into the Pharaoh's house and tell him to let the people go. What do you think Pharaoh's going to do? And God says, listen, you are who I'm sending. You are who I'm choosing. Despite all your inadequacies, tell them, I am who I am sent you. See, the name of God was so sacred in the Old Testament that they couldn't even say the name of God. In this statement that God says, I am, is a definitive statement over everything. God is over everything. God was first. God is last. God is the beginning. God is the end. God is all over everything. Powerful. So when Jesus comes on the scene, and he's living his life, and he's entering into all these moments, his response is, I am. Jesus is saying, I am the great I am. He's calling back to the Old Testament to let everybody know, I am God on earth. I came down, I'm the Word, I was sent, I put on humanity, and I moved into your neighborhood to show you who I am, to reveal myself to you. and to leave you with something far greater than I. And so Jesus, through the book of John, the first one is in John chapter 6, where Jesus is sitting there teaching, and they run out of food, and the disciples come to him and say, hey, Jesus, there's thousands upon thousands of people here, maybe up to 10,000 people here sitting, listening to your teaching. They're hungry. What do we do? Remember the story? Eventually, everybody gets to eat. And what does Jesus say at the end of that story? I am the bread of life. I satisfy. I provide. Then in John 8, Jesus declares, I am the light. Do you remember in the beginning of John? John declared this, the light overcomes the darkness. Jesus then in John 8 is saying, I am the light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Darkness cannot overcome the light. In fact, when I walk into the room, I bring the light, and the light overcomes the darkness. The darkness cannot stand against me. Jesus then in John 10 says, I am the gate. I am the shepherd. After healing the blind man, Jesus says, I'm the gate. I protect my flock. I keep the gate. I stand at the gate so no one can come in and harm my sheep. No enemy can get in from the side. I guard my sheep. There's no enemy that can steal, kill, and destroy. I am the shepherd. He says, the sheep know my voice. He says, get to know my voice as the shepherd. Because when you're lost, listen for my voice and I will bring you back home. I will protect you. I will be there for you. I will sustain for you. I will provide for you. I will guide you towards water and safety. Then in John 11, Lazarus, as Jesus' friend, passes away. And Jesus shows up on the scene a few days late, I might add, and raises Lazarus from the dead. Both foreshadowing for what's to come, but also declaring, Jesus says, that I am the resurrection, I am the life. I am over death. I am over life. I came to give life to the fullest and conquer sin and death. So even when death happens, it's not the last word. Because if you follow me, you join me in my kingdom. Jesus then says, with his disciples sitting there, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Don't worry. I know you're confused and scared as they're sitting in the upper room. When I am resurrected, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to comfort you, to teach you, to guide you, to protect you, to be your strength in times of need. To remind you that I am. In John 15, he gives his last I am statement, I am the vine. Remain in me. Abide in me. That's all you need to do. I will take care of the rest. You don't even have to worry about what kind of fruit you grow, right? Like you're on the vine and all you have to do is abide in me and remain in me. Like that's it. You don't have to worry about the fruit. Most of us are worried about the fruit that we're growing and am I growing enough? Am I spiritual enough? Am I deep enough? Like all these things, you don't have to worry about any of that. Because Jesus is the gardener. He'll trim off what you don't need. Or what's not helpful. Jesus says, all you have to do is remain in me. Jesus declares over and over and over again, I am. I am over it all. Here's the question. Do you know the great I am? Do you know him? Yeah. I get maybe you come to church every so often. I get maybe you believe in Jesus. But do you know him? Because this is kind of the whole point, right? To know the great I am. See, I need hope. I need answers. Jesus responds, I am. I don't know what direction to go in. I've got all these options. I don't know what direction to go in. Jesus responds, I am. I'm a mess. I can't figure it out. I am. I'm lost and I'm worried. Anxiety is taking over my mind. Jesus responds, I am. My marriage is sinking. I don't know what to do. I am. My marriage is thriving. I am. I'm struggling in my relationship with my kids. He answers, I am. I'm struggling in my relationship with my parents. He answers, I am. I don't know if I can do it. I am. I'm lonely. I don't have any friends. I am. When I'm making the money that I want to make, I am. When I need more income to come in, I am. When I'm really successful in my job, I am. When I don't know if I'm enough, I am. It didn't work out like I thought it would. I thought the relationship would work. I thought the degree would work. I thought my situation would work out, and it's not working out the way that I hoped it would. I am. When the diagnosis isn't good, I am. When the outcomes aren't what I hoped for, I am. When I'm bored in life, I am. When I'm afraid, I am. When death occurs, I am. When I don't have purpose or vision in my life, I am. When I spend my life pouring out for others, who's pouring into me? I am. See, over and over and over again, Jesus shows up into our stories in all these various ways and declares, I am. I am what you're hoping for. I am what you're looking for. I am your foundation. I am your purpose and vision. I am your source. I do sustain you. I do provide for you. Just listen for my voice, because I am. Do you know this I am? Do you know Jesus? The first, the last, the beginning, the end, the one who holds it all together, the one that is in everything. This is the Jesus we come and celebrate. The Jesus that died and a couple days later got off the cross and revealed himself to his followers to go, I am legit. This is real. Believe it. Do you know this I am? I can't even get one amen on Sunday morning? On Easter? Man. You can talk back. It's okay. Turn with me to John chapter 20, verse 30. I mean, we get to Easter and we kind of say, like, what's the point, right? Especially if you aren't really following Jesus. Maybe you're here. Maybe someone dragged you here. Maybe you feel like it was a bait and switch. You're like, I'll buy you coffee if you come to church. And now you're here and you're like, I don't know if the coffee is worth it. Right? Just upgrade to like a breakfast or something. Get more out of this. Or maybe you're with family. Maybe you're here, you've been following Jesus for a long time and you're just asking the question, what's the point? I've sat through 20 Easters and I don't know, it feels kind of stagnant. It feels kind of stale. What's the point? Well, this is the point. John says this is why I've written the entire story of Jesus. Jesus performed many other signs and miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. See, this isn't just about coming to church. This isn't just about like being a morally good person. This isn't just about believing in the right. I believe that Jesus is my Savior, and I believe that because of that, because I said this prayer, I'm not going to go to hell. See, believing gets you so far, and James even said, even the demons believe. Like, believing? It's like half of it. John says, I want you to read the story of Jesus. I want you to, like, get in it. I want you to understand it. I want you to read it over and over and over again. I want you to understand that Jesus is the great I am, that in any life circumstance, in any situation that comes, we look at Jesus and go, you are enough. You are faithful. You are the great I am, no matter what I'm going through. I can put my hope and faith in you. And I want to believe in you so much that it actually starts to change my life. Like, this isn't just an add-on thing. This is an everything thing. Like, this is, I'm going to follow you and learn your ways, learn how to walk with you, how to be filled by your spirit, how to listen for your voice. I'm going to make you everything in my life. I'm going to become your apprentice. So when I see you do something, I do it. When anything happens in life, my response is, I am. Jesus is the great I am. Good or bad, that's my response. I am. God's got this. Jesus has got this. The Holy Spirit is in me. It's protecting me. It's defending me. It's guiding me. It's showing me truth. It's leading the way. It's leading my life. And John says, I want you to believe so much your life is absolutely transformed by this truth that you decide to live your life following Jesus with everything you have. Like, Jesus becomes your life. Any fear, any insecurity, anything that happens, our response is, I am. Jesus has got it. And John goes, when you do that, then you're going to understand what it means to live life to the full. To live the life that he intends you to live. N.T. Wright says this about Easter. The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched here on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ, and that you are now invited to belong in it. Do you know this, Jesus? Even if you've heard this message 1,000 times, do you know this Jesus? Because he invites you into the kingdom. And he sends you out by the power of the Holy Spirit that is living in you. To not only live it, but go and demonstrate it for others. So that when others see the way that you live, you can say, oh yeah, I'm not fazed by that because I know the great I am. Let's pray. Jesus, we come to you this morning. And Jesus, we are reminded of who you are. We are reminded of who you are through the Gospels. That you are the great I am. That we get to come and celebrate this morning and tune our hearts to you. Because you are the great I am. Because you were the first, you're the last, you're the beginning, you're the end, you're in it. You hold it all together. While we were yet sinners, you came on the scene and you conquered sin and death. And now you are in heaven and you sent the Holy Spirit to be our strength, our courage, our guide. To transform us. So that our belief in you changes us from the inside. It changes the way we think. It changes what we chase after. It changes our response when something goes wrong in our life. It changes what we look to. I'm no longer looking to what's around us. For purpose, for identity, for provision. I am looking to the great I am. We praise you. We bring glory to your name. Amen. Let's continue our worship this morning.